Good morning. There was like an array of good mornings throughout the auditorium. What is it? Sanctuary. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? That was okay. So we're not doing great. I'm sorry. I'll try and make it better. Good morning. My name's Kelsey. If this is your first Sunday with us, we're really glad you're here. We're excited that you get to join us in the middle of our hearts series. John is going to share a little bit from his heart and what God has kind of been talking to him about. And so it's a good morning to just kind of get to know us. If you're not new, welcome back. We're glad you're here. I didn't use any sassy remarks this morning, so I'm just glad you're here. A couple of announcements for you guys before we get started. Are you ready for these? One day I'm going to like make a dance for each of them or something so that they're more exciting, but that sounds exhausting. So first announcement, next Sunday, if you want to support Haiti, they are doing a luncheon after service, so make sure you stay, give a donation, eat some delicious food. I'm sure there will be some delicious meat item. Is that accurate? Yes. Scott says yes. Woo! For those of you who are excited about the meat, woo! I'll come and I'll donate and I'll hang out. It'll be fun. Then, if you have missed, this last week was the beginning of our fall programming. So if you're in high school, we started on Tuesday. It's a lot of fun. We're talking through Ecclesiastes, which is somewhat depressing, but it's going to be really cool talking about wisdom this week. Then Wednesday nights is everything else. 5:30 is the dinner, so you're going to want to come because it's delicious, and it's a great time just to kind of hang out and get to know people. Then at 6 o'clock, if you are an adult, you can go to the Grow You Bible study that is right here in the gallery. You're going to be walking through Ephesians, which is a really good book, really, really good book. Granted, if we picked any book, I wouldn't be like, well, the book's okay, so that's probably a given. Junior high then also meets in A8, which is where we normally do youth things. We're talking through the story of Daniel. It's going to be a lot of fun. In fact, Heidi's teaching this week, right? Woo! No? I'm excited. And there's going to be something about Oreos, but I can't give it away. And then elementary is meeting. They all kind of check in at A1, 2, 3. And they're doing a series through different heroes of the faith. And last week was a blast. So come check it out. It's going to be a great night. Then if you are interested in hanging out, staying up late, there's a late night study as well in the living room, which is in our office building. So come check it out. Any one of those programs is well worth your time and energy. We're having a good time. It was a lot of fun on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. So come check it out. Next announcement. Okay, I'm going to catch my breath first. Next announcement. If you remember last week on the backside of your bulletin handout insert, there was a list of things that we need for Con and I. If you could please continue over the next couple weeks bringing stuff in for Con and I. Around this time of year, it's pretty, our cupboards need some love, which is probably true of a lot of families. So please, please, please give some donations. There's carts out here. You can also drop it by the office any day of the week, and I'll show you where that goes. Next announcement. This is exhausting. I can preach for 30 minutes. I don't know why giving announcements is so much harder, but that's okay. Next announcement is this weekend. If you guys on Friday and Saturday are like, hey, I should pray for something, pray for us as a staff and elder board. We're going on a little mini retreat. And this guy named Sam Chetty, who's our guest speaker next week, is going to come and kind of just talk to us about how to do transition as a church and walk us through some of this. So if you guys want to join us in praying for that over the next few days, we would really, really, really appreciate you being a part of that with us. It's going to be a really, really cool weekend. Probably a lot of work, but I'm excited about that. Then the last announcement on Sunday, I forgot what month we're in, August 30th. Sunday, August 30th. I almost said September. Apparently, I'm jumping the gun. We have our next town hall meeting directly after service. put that on your calendar. This one is a really important one. We're going to talk about some big issues, big stuff. So come and be ready to come as a family and kind of explore where God is leading us. So on the 30th, be here after church for our next town hall meeting. It is an important one. So be here. Everyone is welcome. So really, really, really come, share your heart and share your love with us. I think that's it. Am I missing anything? John's wearing a golfing tie, so today you should give him a hard time for it, okay? There was some laughter on that one. That was good. Let's go ahead and let's just pray and just dedicate this morning to God. God, we just thank you. We thank you for being a God that is constant, a God who is with us always, a God who loves and is bigger than we could even fathom. And God, as we explore where you're leading us, where you're taking us, and how to serve our community, we just ask that you be at the forefront, that you be meeting us in the places we need to go, that you be walking us through. God, this morning is all for you. It is all for your glory. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Would you stand and sing with us?
Our God is love.
take this moment to greet one another. Your club is leaving right now. So, there you go.
Thank you. So as Kelsey said earlier, we're in the middle of this very short series called Our Hearts. And when I was thinking about this over the past number of weeks, I've been thinking about what is on my heart. And when we're talking about what's on our hearts, we're talking about those things that awaken us in the middle of the night. We're talking about those things that perhaps could even upset us. They get our blood boiling a little bit. We're talking about things that motivate us and that move us to do something. So there are a number of things on my heart today, a number of them. So we're going to be here till about 3. It's hot outside. You want to be in the air conditioning. We're good, right? And by the way, that's why I'm wearing this. This is my way of telling the weather. You can't be as hot as I am when I'm wearing a tie and that type of thing. But thank you. Appreciate the encouragement, Bob. But there are a number of things on my heart. The first is this. I have an incredible heart for people coming to know Jesus Christ. Not just for the first time, but to help people along their walk with Jesus Christ and allowing him to transform their lives. I have a heart for getting people into the Bible. That's part of the reason why on the message notes, there's always this section in there called homework. And some people have come up to me and said, we really don't like calling it homework. Could you call it something else? I said, well, give me a different name. I'm more than happy to call it whatever. But I love and I have a heart for God's word. I have a heart for people connecting with one another. And by that, I mean more than just here on a Sunday morning. Connection that I'm talking about is stuff that happens outside these walls. So within the next couple of months, you're going to hear about a ministry that we're going to be launching that's a life group ministry. And we're having an initial meeting this week to get some things going on that. But we desire to connect with one another. I also have a heart for prayer. We gather at 8:45 in the morning in a room off the sanctuary here to pray over the service and then at 10:20 to pray over that service. And then we pray throughout the week. And starting on Saturday, August 29th at 9 o'clock in the morning, we're going to meet every week to pray over in the main office building. Why? Because not only do I have a heart for prayer, but I know that it's only through prayer that God can walk us through this time of transition. And we're not just going to pray for a few weeks. We're going to continually be doing that, seeking after him and what he desires to do in our lives. And also, I want to say, keep praying for those schools that you committed to be praying for. School just started this week. Please keep praying for them. And then I have a heart for worship. Not just here on Sunday mornings. And I love Sunday mornings are great. I get to interact with you guys and get to see what's going on and hear about what's going on. And then we collect together, coming from good things, bad things, indifferent things. And we gather together in unison to worship God. But worship isn't only a Sunday morning experience. It is something that we are to be doing all the time. In the workplace, with our families. When we're driving down the road and you get cut off, we're to worship. That's what we're to be about. But all of those things as far as what's going on in my life right now. All of those things are important. But there's one thing that's more important for me right now in this season of my life. And you'll find it in Isaiah chapter 41. I invite you to turn in your Bibles there. And if you don't want to turn there, look on your smartphone or on the bulletin. But in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, we read this powerful, powerful verse. Isaiah writes this: "So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Father, we pray now as we come into this time that you would speak to each one of us. We pray that you would open our eyes to what it is that you have for us. We pray that you would open our ears so that we can hear from you. And we pray that you would open our lives so that we would then move forward for you in confidence and with great courage that you've given us. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So all those things that I told you as far as a heart, my heart right now is to have a heart of courage. My heart right now says we have to have courage through this time. We have to have courage through this time of transition. And this verse that I just read in Isaiah chapter 41, what is so great about the verse isn't just, well, it's a great verse, but when you understand the context of what the people were going through at that time, it's very similar in some aspects to what we're experiencing as a community of faith here. The people in Isaiah's day had been taken over by the Babylonians. The Babylonians oppressed them. The Babylonians worshipped a god that was not Israel's God, was not God's people's God, was not Yahweh. And in the process of this, they would force their beliefs on God's people, and God's people were trapped. They were wondering if God heard them. They were wondering if God had forgotten about them. They were wondering how they were going to make it. They had heard the stories over the generations about how God's people were taken captive in Egypt and how they were treated as slaves back then. They knew those stories really well, and they thought, well, this could never happen to us. We would never do anything like that. And so what they began to do was they began to walk further and further away from who God is. And God, because he cares about people so much, he allows us to go down those paths. And then it happened. The Babylonians came in 586 and captured them. The next thing they know, they're in a situation where they're told that they need to bow down to other gods. They're in a situation where no longer do they get to do what they want to do. They are told what they have to do. They are oppressed. And so in the middle of this situation and this feeling of hopelessness that these people have, this feeling of, is God still there? Is God still on the move? Is God still going to hear us? Isaiah pins these words that God laid on his heart and said that I'm right here with you. There's a lot going on here. And the first is this, is that we have fear, but God is with us. We have fear. During this transitional time, there's some fear out there. I hear it from you. I see it on your faces. And so in the midst of this fear, it's real easy to sit there and think, well, we just have to just suck it up and move on. But God says, I'm with you. I get your fear. I understand your fear. And if you're here this morning thinking that you don't have fear, I think you're fooling yourself. There are different things going on in all of our lives that at times cause us great fear. A 6-year-old son was getting ready to go to bed, and a thunderstorm was raging all around him. Looked at his mom and he said, I need to go to bed. Well, I don't know of any 6-year-old that actually says, I need to go to bed. But his mom said, you need to go to bed. So she grabbed him by the hand, took him to his room, began to tuck him in. Thunder's going on, lightning, and he's scared. He looks at his mom and he says, "Mom, would you stay in here with me until the storm passes?" And she looks at him, she says, "Well, listen," and I don't know what the son's name was, but she says, "Listen, you're no longer a little baby. We're right here with you. We're going to be here. You don't need to worry." So then the son doesn't miss a beat, and he says, "So where are you sleeping tonight?" He says, "Well, I need to sleep with your dad." The mom reaches over, gets ready to turn out the light, and the son says to his mom, he says, "So I guess that means that dad's still a big baby after all." All of us have fear. No matter how tough we want to look, no matter how all together we want to look, we have fear. And our God knows our fear. Our God says that I am with you. I'm with you in the midst of those fears. I get it. I'm walking with you through this. So on my heart is this desire to be courageous, this desire not to be courageous on my part, but to allow God to minister to me as we face these fears together. These fears that at times can paralyze us, God says, "I'm with you." These fears that say, "Don't take a step out because you don't know what's out there," God says, "I am with you." These fears that say, "Don't extend forgiveness to that person because you know that they've really hurt you and you don't want to forgive them because you're in the right, they're in the wrong," and God says, "As you forgive them, I am with you." These fears that tell us to not reach out to a person that we don't know that well, God says, "I am with you." This God that we have, this God that we serve, says, no matter what your fear is, I'm greater than that fear. I am with you. I care for you. I'm looking out for you. A young lady got in her car. She started up her car and took off. And as she took off out of this parking lot, a big pickup truck followed her. It was night. She didn't think anything of it. So she took a right turn, and this truck took a right turn. She took a left turn. The truck took a left turn. And all of a sudden, she realized that she was being followed. She sped up. The truck sped up. She slowed down. The truck slowed down. She turned right. He turned right. She turned left. He turned left. She then saw an exit or an on-ramp for a highway, and she moves over onto that on-ramp and takes off and floors it, and the truck comes after her, flooring it just as fast as he could go. She is in a sheer panic at this moment. She doesn't know what's going on. All she knows is that she needs to get to a place of safety. And the truck continued to get closer and closer to her and was flashing his lights. But she was so focused on getting away from this individual, she took the next exit. She gets off at the next exit. She pulls into a gas station and pulls up and slams the car in park and sprints out of her car and crying out for help. And as she's getting ready to cry out for help, he pulls up next to her, flies out of his truck and opens the back door of her car and grabs a person who was going to attack her. God wants us to know that he's with us. And in the midst of our fears, we can get so consumed by the fear that we forget that God is chasing after us, that God is reaching out for us. God is saying, "I'm here to protect you." So I ask you this morning, what are you afraid of? What's eating away at your life? What's taking your world and shrinking it so that you can control every little thing? Because that's what we do when we're afraid. We seek more and more control. And God says, "I am with you." And then he moves on and he says this. He says, Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. As we move beyond fear and then we begin to realize that our God is with us, there are going to be times that we get dismayed, that we get discouraged. Change is never easy. It just isn't. And in the process of change not being easy, we can get discouraged. When I had the privilege of going on a sabbatical last fall, I came back, and in the midst of my sabbatical, I came back, and God and I had these interactions going on all through the sabbatical. And in essence, what God was saying was, John, I've called you. John, there needs to be some changes in your life. John, I'm here for you. We're going to do this together. And so I came back, and I was all excited about coming back. These changes that God had been working on my life throughout the sabbatical, I was looking forward to diving in and just enjoying all these different changes that were going on within me. And then what happened was this, was that there were different individuals in my life who saw the changes that God was doing in my life, and those individuals pretty much told me, I don't like this new John. Please go back. Every time that I would take a step forward, they would say, we don't like that very much. Please calm down. I got discouraged. I got frustrated. And one of you came up to me, and it was very loving the way you did it. And I was talking to you about it, and you came up to me and said, listen, change is hard. If you think that people are just going to roll out a red carpet because you're a changed individual, he said, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. But that discouragement begins to sink into our lives, and we come to a place where we don't want to change anymore. We have discouragement, yet he is God. You know the discouragement. Some of you have been implementing change in your life, and you've hit these places where all of a sudden people are saying, really don't want you to change anymore. You need to go back to who you were. And yet, in the midst of it, you're struggling with going forward for it. You're struggling with whether or not the change is worth it. The people in Isaiah's day were looking for a God to minister to them in their discouragement. They were looking for God to give them a word of encouragement. They were looking for this God to say, I'm bigger than your discouragement. I'm bigger than the problems that you're experiencing as you go through this change. I'm big enough, I can handle it. I am God. And during this time of transition, there are changes going on, and it's really easy for us to get caught up and think, well, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. If we continue to say that, we're not going to make it. And God says in the midst of it, I'm God. I got this. If you're here this morning discouraged, I'm here to tell you that we have a God who is the King of encouragement. If you're here this morning wondering whether or not you can make it, our God says, I am God. I will take care of you. Look what I've done. Jesus Christ wants you and I to know this, that he understands discouragement. Spent 3 years with 12 individuals, and at the biggest time of his life that he needed them, and he was on that cross changing history, they bailed. You're going to tell me that Jesus Christ wasn't a little discouraged at that point? He entered into the discouragement. He entered into that struggle because he is God, and he knew that you and I would go through times of discouragement, and he can say to us, I am God. I've got this. But we're not done there. We're not done, because look what happens next. He says, I will strengthen you and I will help you. The only time that he's going to tell us, well, really, it's all the time. We have weaknesses. He is strong. You can try all you want to prove how great you are to God, but God says, I'm greater than you on your very best day. We have weaknesses, we make mistakes, we stumble, and yet God says, I'm going to give you strength. Imagine what these people in Isaiah's day were going through. They're trying harder. They're trying to do what needs to be done, yet it continues to take a toll on them. And God says, I can give you strength. I will strengthen you. I will help you. What weaknesses do you have right now? Do you feel as if this God is off somewhere else and isn't going to encourage you and strengthen you? I'm here to tell you, based on God's word, that he is a God who gives strength when we are weak. He gives hope when we are hopeless. And then he does something more amazing. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We fall down, and he picks us up. When we fall down, he doesn't unfriend us on Facebook. When we fall down, he doesn't stop following us on Instagram. When we fall down, he reaches into that place and says, I will uphold you with my right hand. Not just any hand, my righteous right hand. The most important thing about your walk with Jesus Christ is not you. It's Jesus Christ. The reason why the most important thing about your walk with Jesus Christ is not you is because you're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to fall down. I'm going to make mistakes. But Jesus Christ says, I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. We have a God who is not afraid to get his hands dirty. We have a God who reaches in and says, as you take these steps of courage, know that I'm there. And as you fall down and as you stumble, I am there to uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's because that righteous right hand has nothing but right actions for you to be the person you're called to be. I have a heart to grow in courage. And I invite you to be courageous. I invite you to be courageous, not because of anything that you can do, but because we have a God who says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, I am God. I will give you help, I will give you strength, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. A guy by the name of David was a construction worker, and he wasn't just any construction worker. He was the best construction worker that this particular company had. This company called on David to do the risky stuff for them as they built these high-rise apartment buildings. And they called on David and his crew one night to do some special work, but they knew David could do it because he had done it in the past. He had done it and done it really well, but it was always in daylight. Well, this was a different time. They said, we have to do this at night. And there was one particular job that David did really well that nobody else could do quite as well as him. And it was risky, but during the daytime, he saw what was going on around him. He knew what to do. And so he and his crew go up to the 20th floor of this apartment building that's being built. And David and his crew are getting ready for the evening, and because they know it's going to be a long night, and they start up the machines and the power tools and all that kind of stuff, and it's making a huge racket, and there's all this screaming going on back and forth, just like guys do with one another on a construction crew. And David wanted to stay there, but he couldn't because his particular job meant that he needed to go to the other side of the building. Go to the other side of the building and crawl out on this beam to do some special work. And as he walked across the building and as he walked across the floor, he got so far away that he could barely hear the machinery in the background. And it got darker and darker. But he knew he had to do this. And so he goes out and he crawls out on this beam and begins to do the work that he would always do and have no problem doing during the day. And then, as he was getting ready to wrap up, he took a wrong step and he fell. And in the process of falling, he grabbed hold of the beam and held on. And he began to scream and holler for help, but he couldn't be heard. There was nobody coming to his rescue, so he kept screaming. And as he screamed, he noticed that his arms began to burn, and he noticed that his grip was getting weaker and weaker by the moment. He began to think about all the things that he had done for this company, how he had poured himself into this company to take care of them, to help build this company, and how he was always there when they had an emergency. He was always there when it was overwhelming. He was there to do what they asked him to do. He kept crying out for help, and nobody was coming. He kept crying out for help, and his voice just carried off into the distance. And he knew this, that in a matter of moments, he wasn't going to be able to hold on any longer. He cried out one more time, and he said, "Anybody, help me." No response. And then he couldn't hold on anymore, and he fell. As his grip released, he cried out, "Help me." And he fell. Twelve inches. Onto a scaffolding that had been left there earlier that day by a construction crew. You're on that beam. This church, as we go through this transition, is on that beam. We're trying. We're moving forward. We want to do some different things. And perhaps we get afraid, and perhaps we get discouraged, and perhaps we cry out and we say, "God, help us." And we don't know if he's going to be there or not. We're getting overwhelmed by the darkness of what's going on around us. Yet God says, "I am with you. I am God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my right hand. I've got you." We need courage. And we can have courage because our God says, "I've got you by my righteous right hand." He will not let us go. Father, we pray. We pray that we, in the midst of this transition, that we would be your people, that we would know that we don't have to fear, that we would know that in the midst of our discouragement, that you are God. In the midst of our weakness, that you are strong and you help us, and that you uphold us with your righteous right hand. Speak to us. Break through our fears, our discouragement, and our weakness, so that we may better understand that your righteous right hand is right there with us every step of the way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You guys would like to stand and worship with us again?
To invite the ushers to come forward now to receive this morning's offering. We have a God whose name is higher than the rising sun. We have a God who reaches into our darkness, reaches into those times of fear, and says, I am with you. We have a God that says, I've provided for you. And so we invite you now to give to the ongoing ministry of this church. Not because this church is some great place, but because God is doing a work here and because he asks us to give. Would you join me as I pray? Father, we pray now that you would take these offerings and use them to bring glory to you. That you would truly be the one we trust, the one we say thanks to all the time. Holy Spirit, do your work. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is a fairly new song. I think if some of you know it, sing with us. If not, you can just sit back or you can stand and sing with us. Worship how you're led.
Thank you.
All right, and this one's an oldie, so. Let's all worship together courageously to God.
That's true. There is no God like our God. And so we pray that this would be true this week as you go out to be courageous. That when you fear, that you would know that he's with you. When you're discouraged, that you would know that he is God. When you're weak, that you would know that he is there to help and strengthen you. And in all things, know that his righteous right hand will hold on to you. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.